I want to see you. Amen and amen. The prophet of God said, if you ever get just a little taste, you'll never be satisfied. So that's the way it is, right? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn where we were reading there Sunday from John 3, and then we'll go to Ephesians 2. John 3, Ephesians 2. I wrote something else down. I need to check what I wrote it down for. It'd be good to read that, but I won't. Anyhow, just remember, Wade and June will be over with Brother Dutch Scott this weekend. So remember them as they're traveling. Just pray one for another. I know there's a lot of sicknesses. You know, a lot of the kids are sick, and we're sorry about that. And Zoe and KK, they didn't get to get their birthdays because they're a little bit late getting here, but they did sing happy birthday to you, okay? So today is their birthday, and we appreciate it. Amen. I think all the announcements has been made. I'll try to look back on my other notes, make sure they keep them right. Okay. Let's just pray and go on into the Word. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for all things. We know you give them to us freely, so thank you. And we just pray now that you'd bless us as we speak about you and try to talk a little bit to the people about the thought that's on our mind. And you just come and be with each and every one of us, that we may all be one together in you is our prayer. We love you and we thank you. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us, Lord. Sanctify us. Make us afresh and new in you. And just come now and speak to us as we read your word. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. John 3, very familiar scripture with all of us. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now we went through that this past Sunday, trying to cover, you know, that Nicodemus must have been a pretty good believer. We say, well, all we got to do is believe. So he must have been a pretty good one. He put his life on the line, his job and everything, and confessed that no man could do these things unless God be with him. All right. Now let's go to Ephesians 2. And we'll just read verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I want to review just a little bit, and then we'll try to move on into the message. I had a bunch of quotes our Sunday to, you know, just to scan across, but we didn't get to them. But I want to make sure you understand that what we're trying to bring, we're talking about just simply what is the new birth, all right? And we have a lot of young people with us. We have a lot of young people on the internet system and everything that, you know, maybe they've never heard really anybody talk about, you know, the new birth. And so we just, you know, chose that point to do. And because Wade has the list there of all the people, you know, that put their families on there to be prayed for and the things. And, you know, when they, you can take this to them and say, well, okay, just listen there and you'll see what we believe the new birth is, you know, and let them make up their own mind if they will listen. If not, then just hold on to it until they get around to where they will listen. And just keep believing and accepting them, you know, for them because, you know, they really in a position to where that to be lost is a bad thing. But, you know, we can believe for them, and it's not that it'll save them, but it sure puts them in a good place, because if somebody's praying for you, you always want somebody to pray for me. It wouldn't matter to me if it was the Pope of Rome. You know, I wouldn't no problems against him. If I saw him, I'd say, pray for me. You know, we used to have a woman preacher there at the plant, you know, when some of them would say, well, you mean you'd ask a woman preacher to pray for her? Sure do. You know, because if she can touch God, that's all I'm interested in, is somebody that can touch God. All right. But now, I tried to cover some things to where we wouldn't be confused in our thoughts. And we covered in Sunday that there's not three works of grace, because that would be lining up into the line of works. And it's not works. It's all salvation of the Lord. But it's in three stages. You know, three stages of salvation, not three works of salvation. See, if you said it's three works, you would have justification one work, sanctification another work, the baptism would be another work, and that wouldn't line up. See, and it's not that, it's three stages. It's the same Holy Ghost that justifies you, it's the same Holy Ghost that sanctifies you, it's the same Holy Ghost that fills your soul, you know, and gives you eternal life, all right? But now, two, we want you to understand truly that we believe that, you know, like I was bringing out Sunday, if you truly repent of your sins, and if you died right there in that state, yes, you would go to heaven. I don't believe you would be the bride of Christ, because you would only be in a repentant stage of justification. But still, if you died in that condition, you know, believing that and holding on, then sure, one day you'll receive eternal life at the white throne judgment. But that would be a wonderful thing to think about, you know, to think about getting. Everybody wants to, they want to win a lottery, you know, and you know, just get millions of dollars. Well, what good is it? You know, it's just no good. I like what one guy seen it in the paper yesterday. He hit the lottery one time for $115,000 or something like that. And he hit it for $750,000. He just took the ticket, signed it where nobody else couldn't cash it or anything if it got lost, and put it in his pocket and went on working. He said, I'll just wait like the first of the year where the taxes will be cheaper. He didn't care. You know, well, that's I like that idea better than to being so hogtied, you know, you want to run after every dollar. But anyhow, but we believe in three manifestations, because that will tie together to understand the new birth, then will tie together to where that it helps us to understand the Godhead. Because God is not three persons. He's God manifested in three ways. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There are many, many ways that he can manifest himself. But that way we can put it all together, and you can see your new birth tying together with God revealing himself. And that's why I've always told you, that's the way I check a doctrine when I'm listening to somebody. I'm listening to see if what they're preaching compares with what happened in my life. Because if they telling me something contrary to what's happened to me, I just can't accept it that way. I want to stay with what the Lord's revealed me to me, you know, and through my life. All right, but we were trying to cover that, to get it that it was not three works. We gave the quotes and things in the prophet. That it was three manifestation or three stages. All right, we'll read that in a minute from Future Home. But then we're trying to cover that he that comes to God must believe that he is. All right, now, not that he was. As I told you, history can prove that Jesus Christ existed. They can prove. They have the proof that he was crucified. They have all of that as natural proof. But that doesn't save anybody. It's not that to just say, I believe in God, or I believe Jesus Christ. You know, that's fine. But if it's not something to believe that he is now, the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we'd be in trouble. All right? So we tried to emphasize, and I want to make sure you follow that point, that, you know, if you want to be saved, the thing to do is to believe that God is. Well, I believe Jesus Christ was on the earth 2,000 years ago. History can prove that. I believe it's this, I believe that. Well, history can prove that. But it's to believe that he is. And that's why that Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." All right? That's why the manifestation, see, we've dwelt so much upon that, that there's not three gods, there's three manifestations of the same God. All right? There's not three works of grace, there's three stages or manifestations. All right? In this day and time, see, we're not back into Luther and the Wesley. God, you know, honored those things then. But we're in the time now that the new birth has come to the basis of being justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, giving us the new birth. And that's the same situation that Nicodemus was asking about, and Jesus was explaining it. You know, he goes on to explain of it, and he just born the water and all the blood and things like that, and explaining it to him. All right. So I hope you follow that point. Then we got to the point of talking about that many are called, but a few are chosen. All right. Now, I was looking at some quotes today on that, and Brother Brown said the chosen goes back to election. All right. So we could go into that, but we're not trying to do that. We're trying to just cover it over a simple scale to look at it. And so you'd say, well, how do I know God is dealing with me? Well, why are you listening? You know, I mean, why are you here? Why are you on the internet system? Why are you listening? You know, why are you paying attention, or why are you concerned? If you wouldn't, you know, if you just think about it, to be concerned. The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? Because they shall be filled. It's a great honor, the prophet said, to just thirst. To just have a longing in your heart for God. And I went through it to explain even to the people of the countries where they've never even heard of the name Jesus. But yet they have something because of a soul that's within them, of being a mortal being, that soul is longing for the Creator, you know, and all. And they have that calling in their life. So you'd say, well, I just don't really know where God's calling me or not. Because we know that nobody can come, Jesus said, to the Father except by me. You can't just jump up and say, I'm going to go get saved. Right. It's not that way. It's him dealing with you. Amen. Because salvation's of the Lord. Amen. Salvation is not you making a decision. Come on. Right? Now, you got to make a decision. That's fine. Right. But you got to make a decision about the salvation. All right? So then you see why it's so valuable to understand the truth, because a lot of churches, they've got a set of rules you go by and they tell you you're saved. They got a set of something that you do, certain scriptures you learn, certain ways you learn to quote them and say them and memorize a bunch and you know, and you're saved. All right? But now, that's not our understanding of salvation. Our understanding is that God is the author of it all. Right. And that he's trying to make it manifest to us. Right. All right? So now don't worry. I wrote back a note where I would remember. See, in this day you got a lot of people in the message. If you was a seed, you could be saved. If you wasn't one, you couldn't be saved. And all it's doing is putting doubt in people's mind. Right. Even if it was true. You know, I don't agree with the seed doctrinal ideas like that. I believe what Brother Branham said about the seed. But even if it was true, why would you want to, somebody come up to want to be saved and you say, no, you can't be saved because you ain't a seed. Now what kind of a, don't tell me that's Christianity. Don't talk to me about that being God. That's as heathen as any heathen could be. They wouldn't do that, will you? They'd let you convert to their ideas. But you see, that's the way the people of the message, then they put people to the point that they don't even seek God anymore. And then, like I've told you before about it, I heard of a couple said they'd like to have another baby. But they didn't know whether that baby they'd have would be a seed of God or not. Well, now, I mean, especially if you both of you Christians, why wouldn't you think about it being a seed? Are you talking about going out and doing something wrong to get it? You know? Why wouldn't you want to believe it? If I was going to adopt a child, I would still believe that child by me adopting it and praying for it, that God could honor that and save the child, wouldn't you? Why is it that people are just to the point, you know, that they've torn up the gospel instead of trying to preach it? You know, and it bothers me. But now see, if we don't accept the truth, all right, then see, I don't believe we'll have an excuse when we get there about the truth. I mean, I've tried now, and the other ministers here with me, we've tried to preach to you the truth and give you an opportunity to be able to be saved and do it correctly and not go off onto the tantrums of all of the message people. And I'm not against people for doing that no more than I'm against the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever. Just leave them alone. You know, let them go and leave them alone. Now, telling you what I believe and why I don't believe some of the doctrines is my responsibility. But now, just get with it and let's move on then. So you see what I'm talking about? That we believe in salvation in three stages. All right? Now, and we'll show this through the prophet's message, that at justification, all that is chopping off your past sins. He said it's like picking up a glass out in the yard. He says you got a reason for it. You picked it up. He said, but it's still dirty. He said, then you sanctify it or wash it, cleanse it. Huh? And he said, then that still doesn't mean that vessel is in use, you know, because it needs the fiery baptism of the Holy Ghost to finish all up. All right? But justification by faith. Now that's the thing I want you to get tonight is one thing. All right? If you don't get nothing else out of the message, don't you get one thing. And we'll read it when we get on over a little further. The prophet of God said, everything you get from God, you get by faith. Well, now, brother, they'll see they're hearing the message, people. Well, you can't have faith without the Holy Ghost. Now, show me where the prophet said you couldn't. Yeah. Faith is a revelation, right? And you can get a revelation of healing. And you're a lost sinner? You agree? Huh? See, then we put it all, and I told you there the other day, faith has to be understood the way only way I can look at it is faith is actually a mental believing, and you just keep mentally believing it, and God moves that mental believing into a position to where that He can quicken it, make it alive. But it's still upon my confession. Now, if you don't get anything out of the message, you get this point. We've got to accept by faith. And then we've got to confess, according to Romans, what is it, Romans 10? You believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. You get a high salvation, believe it in your heart. You say, well, I'm not going to go out and tell the world that I'm saved. Well, then you're lost. Because you've cut off your salvation. Well, I believe in my heart. But that ain't all the Word said. It said confess with the mouth. Yeah. All right? So then if we believe it that way, why don't we stand upon it and accept it on that basis? That what we get, we receive by faith. God drops down low enough, I guess is the way to say it, or how would you say it? He comes down into our realm of life and living and doings to talk to us. And communicate with us. The goodness of God, the scripture said, lead us to repentance. All right? See, then you must accept God. Now, we'll get to this at the last because I've got the quotes on it. We must accept God as our Savior. See, now here's the brainy people in the message. Christ the mystery of God revealed. It's not you accepting Him, it's Him accepting you. Well, now you explain that to me when you must first accept him. If you don't accept him, he can't override your free moral agency and save you. Okay? Is that blunt enough? See, I'm trying to make it plain and simple. We must accept him as our Savior. All right. We must repent of our sins. All right. Then he accepts us by giving us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's when he accepts you. Is when he gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because then that way you can't be lost. If you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can't be lost. All right. But if you're just going through justification and going through sanctification and those stages, you have the ability at that position to lose what you started off with. But once you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can't lose that. All right. See, that's why it's in stages. Now, don't worry about what Luther and Wesley them was. We can take hours to express, because that was the new birth back there. But down here, it's required that we have justification from Azusa Street coming on down. It's required that we have justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost to have the new birth. All right. Now, in doing that, see, then we must first confess him. He begins to deal with us and talk to us a little, to call us. We come under what we call conviction, you know. In other words, we realize we're lost. Okay? Now, the prophet of God said all a preacher could do was break the spell that Satan has over your eyes to where that God could speak straight to you. All right? That's why you see him stumbling around a lot of times trying to find a way. Because somebody's pulling something, and we're not prophets to be able to understand what that works on. So we have to just play around sometimes that we find it and let the Lord do it. But now, this will be the main thought, that we must accept him as our Savior. And we must believe that he is dealing with us, talking to us, speaking to us. Why would you be concerned, as I said a while ago, if he wasn't doing it? Right. See, then we must accept the fact that he's doing that. Right. Then we must start confessing. Like I said, you mean you would go out and God would forgive your sins? And then you turn around and say, well, I believe I'm a Christian, but said, I believe I got the Holy Ghost the other night, said, but don't tell nobody now. Well, now I doubt their salvation, wouldn't you? See, because even at repentance, it's God working a work in your life to cleanse us of sin. Why wouldn't we want to tell that God has forgiven us? You know, why wouldn't we want to speak about those things? See, maybe it's because he hasn't done it, because we haven't approached it correctly. All right? And see, we must approach him correctly. We must bring it to the basis of where we can take his word and lay it before him. Don't you think God would get mad at you for you reminding him of what he said? Now, wouldn't that be something? I mean, you parents, you get mad at your kids because they remind you of something you said. There's something wrong with you. You ought not have said it, maybe. Might have to tell them I ought not have said it. But still, you said it, and you'll try to keep your word, right? Well, how much more is our Savior? The prophet of God said, if you find any promise of God in the Bible, he said, you can bring it before God. Now, this is his words. He said, if he won't fulfill it, then he lied. Now, that's strong. But that's how much he believed in the Word. See, we find in the Word. Maybe it's not you reading the Bible. Don't misunderstand me. Because some people say, well, I wasn't reading the Bible when I got saved. No, but you heard somebody or something caused you to get to that position. Maybe you heard other people read it. Maybe you, went to church. Maybe you just loved grandma. And grandma was a good person. And grandma would pray for you, just like that. But that would be all it would take to bring you to a knowledge. It's not, and we'll read in a minute, it's not how much of the word you know. It's not that's how much is revealed. A lot of difference in knowing things and revealing. I wish to God I had revealed in my heart what is running around in my head of this message. After 40-something years of reading it, we ought to have a little bit, But think about it now. You must accept Him as your Savior. And you must confess, because He is our high priest, the Scripture says, that's making intercession upon our confession. Our profession is the word that's there, but it's the same word, confession and profession. So then He can't do anything until I do it. I'll read you a quote in a minute if we get time to, where Brother Brown said, if you're confessing you're a Christian, you are. He said, you quit confessing you're a Christian, you're not one. That's a hard thing, isn't it? But just remember, and I'm going to make a bold statement then, and may hear from this on the internet system or some of you, but I'm going to make it anyway. That person that quits confessing their salvation is not a truly born-again believer to me now. All right? That's a justification, sanctification person that's in the stages of salvation. Because when you come to that baptism of the Holy Ghost, He's going to confess from the inside of you. Or, let me quote Brother Branham, when he said the man went out and got his beer and sat down and said he wasn't going to preach no more, he said a couple of weeks later he's dead. He said God won't let you mar His name. See, so put it in a category. We will get to it eventually one of these days, to where that we can speak on it. But Brother Brown said, I can conclusively prove that you're born again and then baptized into the body. All right, if you'll listen to what I'm talking about, you'll see that exactly. You'll see that He's calling the born again experience in that situation the justification of where you're repenting of your sins. And that's why He said, surely if you die in that condition, you will go to heaven. But He says that's not the born again experience this day. That's not the new birth for this day. All right? So then follow those things and you won't get confused when you hear Him make statements that sounds odd. Just study it a little while. If you'll think about it, it'd be the only way He could say it. How else could He say that He could prove that you're born again and then baptized into the body? How else could He say it? There is no other way of saying it, because He's tying together everybody from a justification state of repentance, accepting Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins. He calls it the thief on the cross. Now, the thief on the cross didn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? Come on, because the Holy Ghost not been given yet, because the man with it in, he was hanging there. He went to heaven on the basis of his confession. Not the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because he didn't receive it. All right? But you see, then that's where we need to understand that we need to just simply get down and believe God. But see, we've got so super-duper revelated until we're not in that realm anymore, Oh, that's just the old days teaching. Show me where it's the old days. Let's read what Brother Brown said about it and see whether it's old days or new days. And let's see what he had to say about it. Go ahead, brother. Let's just read what he had to say about it from Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. I asked you here a while back to read that message. you know, it'd be good to study it. But look what he says. And see, people, as I said, they say Brother Branham believes a new birth this way, and then he changed it this way. Well, now, here he is in 1964, 802, 1964, preaching the future home. And we're going to read two places where he said that he taught three processes from the beginning. All right? And see, then he preached the world in three processes. He preached the regeneration of the world in three processes, the regeneration of man in three processes. All right? But see, what it is, people don't have, I'm just honest now, if you forgive me, why would anybody say that it's not the new birth this way when Brother Branham would say it was? Why don't you hear him say just what I got to saying? That Brother Branham says, if your sins are remitted at justification and you die right there, that's the thief on the cross experience, and you're going to heaven. But then he'd turn around and say, you must have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be in the kingdom. No problem. Not with me, anyway. Because I can see and I know what happened to me back there. And I told you about it. I saw God when I was about 11 years old. I saw that. But that didn't save me. No. But one day I come to the bases I had to get over, and I explained it Sunday there to you. I had to get over the church to be able to get to God, to be able to get saved. Because they was telling me how to be saved when their salvation wasn't what I wanted. Because I wanted something that would save me instead of me going on and living like the devil like everybody up there was doing. You know, and I don't mean everybody. There was good people there, and you know that. But you know what I'm talking about. So look what your prophet had to say about it now. 1964, 802, paragraph 77 to 78 on this verse. And notice how God makes plain to us his plan of redemption. Now he's talking about the world now. But then he's explaining the new birth to you and I, because he said it's the same thing, same for each one, all right? And just thrilled my soul when I saw how he makes plain to us here now his plan of redemption. Now compare what we see with our own eyes. What God has done to redeem his world, he's done the same plan to redeem his people. For the unchangeable God changes not in any of his plans or anything, such a glorious thing. How he led us to himself, to a tabernacle in us, by three stages of grace, just like he's led the world in three stages. You know what he's went through, you've been through the future home. The world was justified by the washing of the water in Noah, and sanctified when Jesus dropped his blood upon it. And one day it will receive a fiery baptism to cleanse it and everything. But it was claimed. It was claimed back there when he stepped upon this earth. All right. Just like he's led the world in three stages to come to the world, as God will come to the world after it's gone through three different stages of purification, that's exactly how he comes to us through three stages of grace. I taught that at the beginning. I've never changed since. It's God's word. See, then why would man come along? Go ahead with the next one, brother. Come along and try to tell us that Brother Branham changed this and changed that. Well, I want to know where he changed it. You know, I mean, I just like to know where he changed it at. Well, you just can't. You're just not spiritual enough. I agree with you. I'm just not spiritual enough to receive false doctrine. I'm sorry. Maybe if that's what you call it, forgive me. Look what he goes over, paragraph 86, out of the future home. Notice how God makes it plain to us, and if that wasn't a great confirmation, a great loving blessing from God, when I see this and see that since a boy, first time ever Christ dealt with me, I've always taught those three stages of grace. Notice if it isn't true now. Now the first step is what? Repentance toward God. All right. And then follows after that is water baptism. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. See, water baptism follows, showing that repentance was genuine, or to remit our past sins. That has nothing to do with future sin. Watch it. It only remits. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What for? Remission. Taking away of past sins has nothing to do with the future. Just your sins have been chopped off what you did. Now, I love this one. You can't repent for what Adam done. Everybody blames Adam. They blame Eve. They blame the devil. Yeah. Right? Well, what's he saying? You can't repent for what Adam done. You never done it. Adam did. You just get forgiveness of what you done. The old nature is still there. All right. So now on justification, what's he talking about? That old nature of mankind is still living in us at justification. When you repent of your sins. See how where you would go wrong if you took it totally that the fact that you just repented, I accepted a Baptist doctrine. Not throwing off on them, but that's just their doctrine. No issue of saying, well, you know, I believe. What do you believe? What do you mean what I believe? I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. Well, the history book says he did. Right? Come on. The history book says he died. They said he was crucified. Right? Is that the point that it's talking about? Is that what we need to be saved? Is it just to believe that he was and what he done? No, it's to believe that he is and what he's doing now. The prophet just showed us right there. He said, ain't no need of us repenting for what Adam done. He said, we never done it. Well, if it hadn't been for Adam and Eve, we wouldn't be in this shape. Like my brother's a Methodist preacher. He told me one time, he said, God made me a sinner. How can he condemn me for sinning? Well, you know he's right if God made him that way. Come on. If God made him that way, he's right. If God made him a sinner, he can't condemn him for being a sinner. So I simply told him, I said, no, he didn't make you that way. You made yourself one. I said, because that wouldn't be God. He can't create evil and do those things. But are you seeing what he said now? See, justification just chops off your past sins. It does nothing to your nature. It does nothing to your future point. We're not Catholicism to believe in being able to pay before we do. You know? But are you following me? The old nature is still there. All you've done is just repented. All you've done is just got rid of a load of sin. All right. But you know, we repent for being a sinner. Now come on, listen to what I'm saying. All right. We shouldn't repent for what we... Now listen to what I'm saying, please. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you repent for what you've done. Right? All right, come on. Now, you repent for what you've done, you believe God forgive you, right? Well, what are you doing now still repenting for what you've done? That song, you know, I don't put a doctrine on a song, but it says, what sins are you talking about? See, we're repenting for what we used to be. Well, that would be repent for what Adam done. Right? Get what I'm talking about. I don't like the life that I lived. No. And I'm definitely sorry for the life that I lived as a sinner. But I asked him to forgive me. And I believe he did. The reason I believe he did is because he gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? So then if you ever want to know whether you've been fully, you know, your repentance was genuine and God accepted it, just get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? You can't get it until you do. That's why that when it was there was only 120 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why didn't the world get it? When Jesus died and the Holy Ghost fell, why didn't it fall on everybody? Because everybody wasn't repentant. Everybody wasn't cleaned out. They wasn't capable of receiving. You following me? So the prophet said it had nothing to do then with your future. You just repented for what you've done. There's no repentance for what you're going to do. Repentance is of what you do. But it's all based on whether or not you can believe it. If you can't believe it, then it's not for you. Remember the man told Brother Brown, said, I wouldn't believe in divine healing no matter what you've done. He said, it's not for you. It's not for him. You can't believe it. Now, you might wonder sometimes why I preach series and then keep on going sometimes. You might ought to tie them together and listen. Because if you remember when we were back there a few weeks, a month or two, 6 months ago again, all right, when we were talking about the atonement, all right, you know, I put a lot of emphasis on the atonement, okay? You know, those people that brought those animals up in that Old Testament and laid them down and put their hands on them, the prophet of God said that they believed when the blood was sprinkling out and splattering all over them as they cut his throat and done the thing, that that animal was dying in their place. Now, do you believe Jesus Christ died in your place? No Roman killed my Savior. No Jew killed my Savior. My sins is what killed him. And if I was the only person in the world, he would have still died for me. Right? Are you listening? See, my sins is what put him on Calvary. That Roman, he didn't kill him. He said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it. Said, I can call 12 legions of angels. And one destroyed the world with water, wormwood. And he could call 12 legions. 12,000 angels. But he died in my place. Why wouldn't you want to repent of your sin? I mean, laying all Christianity aside, and that's a hard statement, I'm sorry, but I just carnal way of talking, but forgive me. Just listen. Laying all facts aside that even we would talk about going to heaven or whatever, but to think that history can prove Jesus Christ died, and he said he was dying for me, he's taking my place. Wouldn't that be something? See, are we afraid of hell? Is that the reason we want to be saved? That's the way people preach it. You don't get saved, you're going to die in hell and burn eternally. Come on. How many of you come out of denominational churches? There's not a one of them that don't teach eternal hell. And there's a lot in this message close enough to it, you know. But see, threatening people to try to get them to be saved. Scaring them. Scaring the little kids. Don't do that. Come on, I know I'm meddling, okay? You ain't got enough guts to whip your own child to correct it. And then you turn around and place it on that Jesus don't love you because you're doing wrong. And you're making the kid have a complex towards Jesus. You ain't got enough guts to whip it yourself. So you're pacifying your own doing it by putting it off on saying Jesus is mad at you. Sorry. That's just the way I believe. Listen, folks. Don't try to scare nobody into salvation. You just present it. Yes, but Brother Dale, I can show you where Brother Branham, yes, he was a prophet. I can tell you where he was a staying. He kept on giving an altar call, and he said, come on down. Come on down. Jesus is waiting here at the altar for you. That's not a scare tactic. That's the truth. That's where he was that night when I saw him. Then on the right-hand side of the altar. See? That's not a fear that away. To tell him Jesus is waiting on you. He said, we're going to put a cross up here. Or when people come down and bow down, maybe it'll help get their mind on. Your prophet talking like that? Yeah. Because he truly was a prophet, wasn't he? But are you following me? It don't have anything to do with the future. Justification, repentance just chops that off. All right. Naturally, by chopping off your sins, you want to go to church. See, when I repented, my first thoughts was, if I'm going to believe in God, which I knew God was real, but if I'm going to believe the way that people believe, I need to read the Bible. So I set out to read it. And I set out to read the Bible. Not to get a gold star, I didn't care about that. My point was, I wanted to know about Him. You know, He was good to me. He allowed me to be able to read His Word. What about that? And I read about all of His goodness and the things, but I read about the things, the way He was and how straight He was. And when this prophet began to talk about it, I didn't have any trouble believing it. When he began to tell how that God, that those Jews were so, you know, so tied up in their own religion, they wouldn't have dare wrote that Abraham lied and all of that. He said, but God made them do it. Brother Branham began to talk about how that in his own life that he even wanted to smoke, he wanted to drink, he wanted to do those things. And God wouldn't let him. Those things touched me. When I heard a man talk about a God that I knew had to be real somewhere. But if you ever come to that contact, that point of even thinking about God being real, that's why it says, he that cometh to God must believe that God is. In other words, He is. He's real. See, then accept Him as your Savior. Yes, but Brother Dale, I claimed salvation 40 years ago. I've been in this message 50 years. That don't have nothing to do with it. I claimed salvation from the time I was 18 years old in a Baptist church, and at 23 years old, I was an ordained deacon teaching the adult Sunday school classes and the things. That's what they thought of me. But you see, when I come in this message, and I saw God the way the prophet was talking about Him, and salvation the way he was talking about it, I realized what I'd done. I had repented of my sins. I'd asked God to forgive me. And I'd set out and got baptized. Of course, it was wrong, but still, you know, as quick as I could, I got it done right. But I'd had it Father, Son, Holy Ghost, like most everybody else sitting here had, you know. But I'd done that, and I went to church. It was never a concern whether or not we went to church. From the day my wife and I married, it was never a concern where we was going to church or not. It didn't make any difference. We were there. I didn't have to come in this message and learn how to pay tithe. I'd done it when I was in the Baptist church. And making anywhere from $42 to about, finally went to a job making about $90. You know, really thought I was rich and went to General Motors making about 120. Man, everything was going good. You know, but you see, something was dealing with me. And when I seen what this prophet was talking about, the new birth, I knew not real quick. I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost he was talking about. I had a great understanding of the Bible. I studied it. I didn't read everything else. I read the Bible. I studied it. Now, I could look up scriptures and talk about the kingdom. I remember striking me one day when I was reading it about when they said something and Jesus said, "Thou art the way." You know, they said to him, "said Thou art the way, the truth, and the life." And I thought, what does that word "way" mean? You know, and I got the best I could do was a concordance. And I began to look up the way. You know, and I found out there's a lot about that in the Bible. I probably one of these days I'll get around, I'll preach on it. But, you know, there was a lot behind that little word "way." But you see, it's because I wanted to know about God. I told you, I'll just talk to you some. I wanted to know about God. I wanted to know about Him as a God. Not to just know that He was God or existed somewhere in a realm way up above, you know, and how we all were and taught that God. You remember the little boy wanted to know if you can see God and went to his mama and his Sunday school teacher and his pastor, and none of them couldn't tell him about seeing God. The old fisherman finally told him, said, "All I've seen all my life has been God," you know. The old man had an experience, right? And see, I believe I walked in a sanctified state because I remember that when the things that I used to do would go away from me. And, you know. But when I saw this prophet and heard him talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I knew right then I needed that. "Well, what do you mean? You believe the message? You believed he was a prophet?" "Yes, sir. I told you before. Under a justified or somewhere state in there, I read the Bible. When I come to Malachi 3 and Malachi 4, I told my wife there would be two prophets come before the end of the world. That's how I believe the word." When Brother Moat began to talk to me about it, he said, I said, "Where do you get this at about a prophet?" He said, "Malachi 4. I said, "Okay, explain Malachi 3. Well, I hit a man that was gracious enough could explain it. He explained John the Baptist and showed me Luke 1:17, all of the things, you know, the scriptures. Well, how could I argue with a man about what he was saying when I had talked many years before about that to see it in the Word? It looked like two prophets would come. You see, I believed God's Word. I still believe it. I believe it's God speaking to us. All right? But have you ever been condemned? Or did you just go to church somewhere? Or was you raised in the message? That's where my kids, my grandkids, are raised in this message. Cutting their teeth on the pews here. That don't save them. They got to have their own experience with God. Not just because daddy's the pastor. You see, in that way, that's why I stand the way I do. But repentance is just simply saying, "I'm sorry. And I'll turn around." But now, if it has nothing to do with your future, and it doesn't drive the unclean spirit out of you at justification, turning around is one good thing. You turned around and started in another direction. But about 2 weeks later, you're going to turn back around. Right? You may be going to church, but you're going to turn back around the other way. Because the devil, the prophet said, you ever say you're a Christian? He said the devil turns every gun he's got on you. He's going to try you to make sure. Huh? But see, then, he that endureth to the end, the Bible says, shall be saved. He that goes on, see. But see, in this day and age, now get what I'm saying where we can move on. In this day and age, to repent of your sins is not the new birth. But now you see, you take people in the message, then they're hunting for something. They're searching. Like in the old days when we didn't have the computers to run up things. I never have looked it up since then either. But they used to condemn me and Brother Moat because we had a flat top haircut. And they told us that that was wrong and of the devil. You know, flat top haircut. Brother Moat said, Brother Dale, you've been looking for things? I said, nope. Ain't concerned about it. I said, because I don't think a flat top haircut is going to keep you out. You know, I'm just going to go on wearing my flat top. Well, it wasn't long now till I've got a good one. It just keeps going backwards, you know. And it's getting flatter because it's getting less of it. But I'm not throwing off on somebody that believes that. But why would you want to believe that to be your salvation? I got to hurry. Okay. Let me get off it. Go and pull up the last part of that one, Brother Joe. Go to Brother Branham in the future home. That's why I've asked you the last part of number 2, which is paragraph 90. That's why I've asked you to go to the future home and study it. Just study it over and over and over. Because he said in there, he said, if I don't get the plan of salvation to you, he said, if I don't get nothing but the plan of salvation, let me get that. Him preaching the change of a world and a world to go to and a place, you know. You know. But look what he said. Now when you are asked, are you forgiven of your sins? You've only done this. Now you remember what he's done up there? He's drawn two hearts. One of them's got a snake in it. The other one's got a dove in it. Now I believe that that was the same heart. You can believe what you want to about it. So why would you want to take the snake out and leave the dove in the other one when you don't deal with that one that you took the snake out of? You know, he didn't put a dove over in the one you take the snake out of. Come on. So then why not do it? Because that's what he's explaining. See? He said one of them's got the dove in it, which is the Holy Spirit, and he's got a life. The other one has malice, hatred, and he said he's got a life too. All right, so what's he saying? Now, when you're asked and you're forgiven of your sins, you've only done this. Now, he draws lines in there representing sin. And he just erased them lines that was representing sin. All right? He's taken that away. But the thing that made you do it is still there. Snake. Unclean spirit. That's the old root of evil. It's still there. Notice, when you repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that he forgave you of your sins. All right. The snake is still in there. The thing that caused you to do it is still there. And then you better keep repenting at that stage. See, at that stage, you better repent every day. And Paul even got up to where he was at in his life, and he said, I die daily. That's a man after the baptism of the Holy Ghost and sitting in a pretty good place. But are you following me? Look at what he's saying. Let's get a few now to get them out of the way. And then we'll, you know, carry on maybe Sunday on the sanctification. But look what he says on the manifestation of the spirits, 1951, 717, or E21. Now, how do you get saved? Let's take it in a childlike form where every believer, no matter if you're what church you belong to and your pastor, if he's a right man, he will tell you that you can only be saved through faith. Now, if a man's really right, that's what he'll tell you. All right? Not through works, through faith. Now, you believe that he saved you. Now, the first thing that comes from the heart, you believe it. Then you walk up and confess it. Say, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. I believe he saved me. There's not a physical thing in the world that you could prove. What? There's not a physical thing in the world to prove that you're saved. Now, why does everybody want signs and wonders and things or speaking in tongues or whatever to be an evidence of the Holy Ghost? Look what he's saying. There's not a physical thing in the world that you could prove that you're saved. Your eyes are the same color. Got the same shirt on you had on. Go outside and the old guys say there ain't nothing to that, but you believe that there's something to it, don't you? All right. You believe it. You believe that you're saved. You act like you're saved. You say you're saved and you associate with those that are saved. and it works salvation. Now watch it. Is that right? And the same thing will take place by divine healing. You believe you're healed. You act like he healed you. You say you're healed, and he's a high priest of your confession to make good anything that you confess that he's done before the Father. There it is. Right? So now you believe it. You believe you're saved. You act like you're saved. I'm talking about just repentance now. We're not talking about the new birth. We're not talking about the baptism and all of the different things. We're talking about just repenting of your sins. You repent of your sins, are you going back to the bar? Go back in, get drunk again? Well, it didn't bother me, bless God. I got saved last night. No. We don't believe in junk. God don't go to the bars. Right? He don't go to those things. Salvation, you repent of it. At least you could quit to the best you can. Right? And I'm honest in saying that because I realized I was a human. I realized my life and I lived. You need help. You talk about Alcoholics Anonymous helping you, and I believe they do. But you need to hang around people that's got the Holy Ghost. Quit associating with the world and the things. Quit running out there with them. And get together with somebody that's got something. Why? Because at least you can act like it. Look at the next one. As I was with Moses, paragraph 228, 1960, 9/11 in the morning. Remember, you can only be saved by your personal faith. Now listen to him. You can only be healed by your personal faith. You believe this to be the Bible, God's Word. You believe your pastor to be a man of God, whatever church you go to. If you don't, you should leave it. I like that. And I'm the guy that's the pastor. I like that. If you don't think this is right, what we do here and what we're doing, you need to go somewhere else. Find you a place to where that you can agree with what's going on. I don't mind that. If you don't, you should leave it. Get to a man that is a man of God. And if you believe him, believe he's telling you the truth, then accept it. Your own personal faith in Christ saves you. No matter how good your pastor is, how godly, saintly your mother is, how real the Word of God is. Now listen to it. How much you cry, how much you pray, it's your faith that saves you. By faith are you saved. It's your faith that saves you. Now, did Brother Branham not agree with crying and praying and all the things? No. He's just simply telling it like it is, right? The truth of it. All right? You can do every bit of that and not be saved. Look at the next one, which is as I was with Moses at paragraph 228. This is paragraph 212. By faith you're saved. How many knows that? How many good men praise over you? How many good preachers preaches to you? You've got to have your own personal faith for salvation. Is that right? It's your own. I don't care how many good sermons you hear. Now listen to it. How many good churches you belong to. It's your own personal faith that saves you. How loud you cry, how much you beg, how much you scream, how much you dance in the Spirit. You're only saved by faith. Is that right? That's the only way you're healed. It comes the same way. All right. Now let's get this point here. Look at thy word, Lord. Preached 1954, 221, E32. Now he cannot heal you or cannot save you or do one thing for you until first you accept it and believe it and confess it. Accept it, believe it, confess it. All right? That's right. You got to confess it. Not you got to feel it. You got to confess it. He's not the high priest of your feelings. Now, I'm glad we got the ability to pull these things in and read them off, you know. People say, oh, I don't know where Brother Branham said that or not. Well, there it is. He's not the high priest of your feelings. He's the high priest of your confession. That's right. What you're confessing. And you go on down through and down and up. You never live above your confession. Let the saintliest, however you pronounce that word, person in this building right now, just make it up in your mind that you're not a Christian anymore. That's when you become not a Christian, see? On your confession. When you go out and say, are you a Christian? No, I used to be, but I'm not no more. You've fallen from grace right then. Huh? That's what I said. Now you take that and you're going to die off it. But listen to what a simple point I made a while ago. You could be saintless or whatever, but you can't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fall from grace. Right? God's not an Indian giver. He doesn't give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you fall from grace. Can't be done. All right? Brother Moult had a good point. The way he made his point, listen. He said, you can't sin enough to be lost if you're born again. Well, naturally, you ain't going to sin anyway. Because God's going to take you off the scene, whatever. But you see, that way, get with somebody the prophet says that knows what they're talking about. Somebody that's been through experiences can tell you how to go through other experiences, right? That's all I do, is just tell you what I go through. You know, what I've been through in my life. I'm just trying my best to tell you what God revealed to me when I preached to you the seals, the Daniel 70 weeks, the series, is the things over all these 40-something years. I'm just trying to tell you what he's dealing with me about. Because that's all I can talk about. Do you ask people to put in their own words what Brother Branham would say about the new birth, and most of them would die. They wouldn't be able to express it. They only can give you quotes. And you know how I love them. I love to read what he says. But if you'll notice, I said this before I said read these quotes. You're saved by faith. You're saved by grace through faith. Your confession is what God is acting upon. You say you're saved, then you're saved. You say you're healed, you're healed. All right. Let's go on down, brother. Let's see, we're on Jehovah Jireh, 1955, 817, paragraph E18. It is only the love of our Father that loves us so much that he sends his word. He sends his ministers to preach the word. Then he sends gifts into the church with his arms spread out, trying to get you to believe it. He wants to heal you tonight 1,000 times more than you want to be healed. But do we believe that? Now, God wants to heal us 1,000 times more than we want to be healed. What's wrong? Maybe our confession is not what he says. He says we're healed. We say maybe we are. He says, he that believeth that God is. We say, yeah, history says he was. You see what it's bringing that out about? Lay that down into your heart sometime and think about it. A lot of our confessions is only confessing what Brother Branham said. That's good. But I didn't think that was what the scripture said. I thought the scripture was saying what we confess and what we believe. I thought it was saying that no man can call Jesus the Christ except it be by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? But look what he goes on to say. But you're afraid. You go by how you feel because you've regarded that You live by your feelings. That's your whole life has been wrapped in that. But you must get away from that and act on God's word, not what you feel or what you see, what God said, and act on that. Make a confession of that. Confess means to say the same thing. He's at the right hand of the Father with his own blood to make intercession on your confession. He cannot do anything for you until first you've accepted it and confess it, and then he can act on it. He's the high priest of what you confess that he is to you. He's the high priest of what you confess that he is to you. It's not what he is to everybody else. It's what he is to you. You see what I mean? But now listen. As I said a minute ago, we read about three quotes here, and I know you'd know that there'd be plenty more if we wanted to look them up, that we must confess, and it won't do us any good until we do. We've got to confess it. We've got to say that we're saved. We've got to say that we're healed. We've got to say that our sins are gone. We've got to confess what he said, where he can come on the scene and take care of it. But you see, we've got so revelated into the message now to where then people will say, well, brother, I don't know what he's talking about. God, it's not whether or not I accept him, it's whether or not he accepts me. That's Christ's mystery of God revealed. You want to read it? Be glad to. No, excuse me, future home. I'll get it over and get it right. 64, go to number 10, Brother Anderson. Heaven and earth have met. God and man is reconciled. Restored Eden has begun. See, all the curse is gone. Just like all the curse of sin is gone when the Holy Ghost accepts you. See, you don't accept it. It accepts you because it's God's attribute. Now, that would sound like that would be destroying all these other quotes that we made that he must make. You must accept him. But just remember, if he is the high priest of our confession, then we must confess him first before he can do anything for us. Agree? So then we must accept him. Then he can accept us. So now, are you following it? Just read it off there and look at it. If my accepting is not correct, he will never accept me. Right? Are you reading off the screen while I'm talking? If my acceptance is not correct, he cannot make intercession upon that. That would mean he would save me whether I wanted to be saved or not. And that's not true. Well, Brother Dale, I believe in a salvation. The brother so and so preaches. Well, go with brother so and so. That's all right. I just can't follow it that way. I must follow it in a line to be able to fit the scriptures, and all the prophet has said. See, you must accept him as your personal savior. All right. But if my accepting is not right, it don't matter about what I accept, right? Because he ain't going to accept me. But if I confess, which means to say the same thing he said, then he's accepting my confession, and he's accepting me. So there's nothing wrong with what the prophet had to say. It's exactly right. It's not whether you confess him or not, it's whether he confesses you. Sure, why? Because salvation. Not whether you accept him, it's whether he accepts you. Right. Because we just got through going through. I hope you follow me. A justification. You're not born again. You're only confessing unto salvation. If you die in that place, yes, you're going to heaven. But that don't mean you're the bride. It don't mean you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is proof your sins are gone. Right? We've got to go through the stage of sanctification, talking about it, the unclean spirit going out in the things. So read the future home there, what the prophet is talking about. You see him talking about this world and what it's got to go through. But it's already been cleansed and cleansed by the Lord Jesus dropping his blood upon it. It's just waiting on a fiery baptism. You know, these bodies that we live in, they've done been cleansed. They've done been claimed. Justification and sanctification. Sanctification lays a claim on that body that you're living in because the unclean spirit goes out. And he lays a claim. It just left you people. You got a deed to your property worth enough to burn. That's all it's worth. There is no such thing as an abstract title deed to a land in America. It would be the Indian that had it. You say, but I had it searched back. I don't care. They only search 100 years. Normal, inexpensive one is searched 20 years to see if anybody got claims on it. I told you about the home there we used to have in Gillsville. We got the house hauled up. We had it dried in. Had it was fixing it when it was working on the outside. I went and put in for a loan. I had enough money to get up to that point. Went and put in for a loan. They said, you don't own the property. I said, I've got the deed. He says, but this doesn't. We had to go check it out. Come find out. I didn't have a clear deed from the man. He had bought the property thinking it was a clear deed. But a man put it up out there in the store. The original deed was put up against a debt that he owed. It just happened that that man was a friend of ours, who, as a matter of fact, was in the same church. And he said, I remember when that man paid it off, but said, we just didn't mark it off the records. He marked it off, and they gave me a deed. That's all it takes. You think you got a deed? Okay. The only thing we got an abstract title deed is to eternal life. That's the only deed I'm concerned about anyway. Whether I got a home or what I've got, I ain't concerned about that. It's whether or not I've got a home in glory. But are you following me? This repentance just cleans away. Don't do anything to the future. Don't even drive out the unclean spirit. It just washes away your sins. In your repentance, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says for the remission of sins. But now what? The water baptism does not remit your sins. It's an act of a good conscience, of an outward thing. Water baptism does not, and I'll show you where Brother Brown said it does remit your sins. But then you take the rest of what he says. The baptism don't remit your sins. It's an outward work of a, you know, it's a work in a conscious part of you on the inside that goes and has it done. That's the where the repentance is at. Because water doesn't repent. A lot of people went down wet and dry and come up wet, and that's all they done. That's what I told that Church of Christ man that time. I said, you believe water baptism under regeneration? You mean a man just gets baptized, he's regenerated? I said, I'll meet you on Lake Lanier Sunday. We'll fill the kingdom. Yeah. You think that's being a joke? Not a bit of joking. I'm in it. I said, we'll just go down through there, and everybody we fan, it don't matter if they got bikinis on, what they got on, or nothing on water, we just shove them in the water. We'll baptize them. He just looked at me. I went on and told him, I said, first off, you don't even baptize correctly. Of course, he didn't like that either. I said, you're a Church of Christ. You won't baptize in his name. But listen, church. Your baptism is just an outward show that something has happened to you. Right. It doesn't save you. It's just showing to the world what you believe. And then you walk on. See, it is on the form of remittance because John's baptism, if you think I don't know what I'm talking about, John never baptized under repentance. Right. John the Baptist never baptized unto repentance. He only baptized to the name to carry it on. But in the book of Acts, they baptized unto repentance. Why? Because it would deal more with the coming forth into the body of Christ. Does everybody understand that? See, in the book of Acts, it was coming into repentance, was going towards the body of Christ to where that you could enter therein. There wasn't no concern of the Old Testament. That's why the John never baptized unto repentance. He just baptized. Because really, in a baptismal form back there, baptism was a fact that most believers, it would be just like, say, I would take all of you out and baptize you because you were believers going to this church. And that's what where the baptismal point come from. And that's why John was baptizing his converts in time. You know, see, to believe on something to come. But then in the book of Acts, it was to believe on something that had already come. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Let's stand. Repentance. You simply say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You've been so good to me. And wouldn't that be something for all of us? Old plowboy falling behind a mule when I was 7 years old. My patches had patches on top of the patches. I laughed when Brother Random was talking about the little boy running out there and pulling that nail and just keep running out in the water because he didn't have nothing else on. He's running out into the water, just pulled a nail, and his prance just fell off of him. Well, that's the only way to get to hold him up. The old buttons would break off. And especially after this handed down from my three brothers above me. You know. But look at it, what he's give us. But most of all, to give us eternal life. Oh. Bring us into this message. To show us the truth. That ought to be the thing that would keep all of us in our, you know, and hold us, is to see the truth. What do we got, brother?
612, the spiral book.
612. Anybody have a need? But just read Future Home.
As
we'll try to get into sanctification, talk about it.
The water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I want you more than any other, so much more than anything. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does your spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I want you more than any other. so much more than anything. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone have the
heart's else?
Desire, and I long to worship thee.
I want you
more than any other person you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul looked after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone.
Just go confess it.
Desire, and I long to worship.
Anybody else that have a need?
He is here, alleluia.
He is here, amen.
He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here, listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here.
Anybody else that just have a need?
You can touch him. You will never be the same.
One more time.
He is here. Alleluia. He is here. Amen. He is here. I will bless his name again. He is here, listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch him. You will never be the same. He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen.
You love him?
He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here, listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch him. You will never be the same. He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here, listen close. Hear him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch him. You will never be the same. He
anybody
is
else
here,
before we go.
Hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here. I will bless his name again. He is here.
Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same.
Amen. Is that right? You'll never be the same. One time touched by the Lord and you'll never be the same.
Amen.
It's just something you may try to go away from and whatever, but can't make it. Never be the same. Father, we thank you for this night, and we ask you, Lord, do you just be with us as we go our separate ways now going home. We pray that what we've said has been worthy to be said, because we're simply just talking about you and what you've done for each and every one of us. And surely, Lord, if we think back through our lives, we can remember the walk that we had. We can remember when we started out, when we repented and that load of sin went off of our lives, and we got to a place that we began to think about you and be concerned, and our eyes and our light of our lives would start going, Lord, towards you. We thank you that you never stop calling us, because we just keep walking. We love you now, and bless and guide each and every one. Touch the sick among us tonight, Lord, and the ones that are not here because of the sicknesses and things. We ask you to just go down to each one and deliver in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Hosanna.